Elizabeth Elliot says, "I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you yet again on the subject of contentment. I hope I'm not being too repetitious here. We do have some great riches from lots of much wiser people than me that I can't resist sharing. Here's one on the subject of thankfulness from somebody named James Smetham. "The years of available and happy life which have been already enjoyed ought to be the cause of thankfulness, even if the days of darkness were many. The sorrow's crown of sorrow is remembering happier things," says Tennyson. But surely in the sphere of faith, at least, there is some mistake here. For what we have received, the Lord make us truly thankful. We've all experienced what it's like to be in the midst of sorrow, and the sorrow is exacerbated by remembering how happy things used to be. If you're suffering from a broken relationship right now, for example, you can't help mooning over all the past joys and privileges that you had together with this person who's now no longer with you. And I think that's what Tennyson means, that sorrow's crown of sorrow is remembering happier things, as if we might be happier if we didn't have happier things to remember. Well, it all depends on our attitude, don't you think? And Smetham quotes this old prayer, "For what we have received, may the Lord make us truly thankful." In Deuteronomy 1, "The Lord your God has indeed now laid the land open before you," Moses says to the people of Israel. "Go forward and occupy it in fulfillment of the promise which the Lord, the God of your fathers, made you. Do not be discouraged or afraid. But you all came to me and said, 'Let us send men ahead to spy out the country and report back to us about the route we should take and the cities we shall find.' I approved this plan and picked 12 of you, one from each tribe, and they set out and made their way up into the hill country as far as the Gorge of Eshcol, which they explored. They took samples of the fruit of the country and brought them back to us and made their report. 'It is a rich land that the Lord our God is giving us.'" The spies, in other words, simply affirmed what God had already told them. They didn't need to have sent spies. "But," Moses says, "you refused to go up and rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You muttered treason in your tents and said, 'It was because the Lord hated us that he brought us out of Egypt to hand us over to the Amorites to be wiped out. What shall we find up there? Our kinsmen have discouraged us by their report of a people bigger and taller than we are and of great cities with fortifications towering to the sky. And they told us that they saw there the descendants of the giants.'" So the people are not contented with the promise of God. On what does my trust in God rest? On things working the way I want them to? It should rest on the character of God. Is he telling me the truth? If he tells me that it is a good land, then it is a good land. Where is he taking me? Well, some of you don't know. Some of you may be facing very difficult decisions, an unknown future. Maybe someone has lost a job or a house. You're going to have to move. Maybe you've lost a job and a house. Maybe you've lost a job and a house and a spouse. Has God forgotten you? He will take care of you. Be not discouraged or afraid. Can he be trusted? So, yes, the answer is yes. Contentment lies in acceptance of what he has already given. No matter how bleak the future may look, let's pray that prayer. For what we have received, may the Lord make us truly thankful. My obedience is based on the authority of God's word, not on my reasoning as to whether or not this course will work. Fix your heart once and for all on God. I love the Psalms, where the psalmist is reminding himself again and again of who God is and of God's faithfulness. He calls him my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my helper, my stronghold, my shade upon my right hand, the shadow of a mighty rock in a weary land. That unchangeable character of God is what I must base my faith on. But that's not easy, is it, in the midst of the trials and tribulations of life? As we were trying to get to the studio yesterday, we managed to get ourselves, it seemed, hopelessly lost, and nothing was working out according to the directions that we had written down. But at that moment, the Lord brought a policeman right alongside in his car. And when we said, we're trying to find such and such a place, he said, well, you're doing a very good job. You just keep straight ahead and you'll see it right around the corner. But if we hadn't found that policeman, who knows, we might have decided to take one of the turns that seemed to be options in front of us. God is working, even when he does allow us to get lost, which we did also yesterday, and Jan got lost coming to the studio today. What's it for? When I was sitting here waiting for her and thinking, poor Jan, she's gotten lost. Why do we have to lose this time? I don't have to know the answer to that. I can fix my heart on the one whose everlasting arms are underneath. Well, I don't see how this is going to do any good to me spiritually. Well, it's not going to do any good to me spiritually unless I accept it. And it is in just these tiny acts of acceptance of situations that we can't change that we are in the process of growing spiritually. We don't grow spiritually, we regress when we reject what God sends. Now, what is it that you are suffering today? I don't know, but I know the one who knows. He feels your pain with you. He has already borne your griefs and carried your sorrows. What is your particular temptation today? Is someone facing an almost irresistible temptation to do something that you feel pretty sure God doesn't want you to do? An abortion, perhaps? You know that that little thing that you bear inside of you is a child, but you're overcome with fear. I can't handle it. I can't handle another child. We don't have the money. We don't have another room. Whatever the fear may be, are you facing a temptation to do something that you know is wrong? And yet you say, but it's survival. It's just my own survival. I don't think I can possibly survive. I refer you to one who is able to help. He is a very present help in time of need. And also one who has suffered in every way that a human being can suffer. It says in Hebrews 2, verse 18, since he himself has passed through the test of suffering, he is able to help those who are meeting their test now. Now, of course, we can't say that the Son of Man had to face what it was like to have an unexpected pregnancy himself. But I think there is, in every kind of temptation, the element of fear that if I don't do this thing, I'm going to miss out. Maybe it's only missing out on fun. There are a lot of temptations that come to us that we feel we just want to experience this thing just because it would be fun. But then there are other temptations where we're tempted to take an easy way out. That's what an abortion is, isn't it? It's the lesser of two evils in the minds of so many people. And very often, decisions like that are governed by fear. Well, Jesus knows exactly what that's like because he himself passed through the test of suffering. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that he would be allowed to evade the test of the cup of suffering if it was his Father's will, If it is thy will, let this cup pass. But then, the bottom line of Jesus' prayer should be the bottom line of ours. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. So I, Elizabeth Elliot, am speaking to you, not knowing one single thing about your situation. And if I knew all about it, the chances are very good that I wouldn't be able to say anything which would reach your heart. And so I give you the eternal word, Hebrews 2, verse 18. Since he himself has passed through the test of suffering, he is able to help those who are meeting their test now. And note that the word is help, not necessarily change the situation in the way that you might like him to, but he will help you. He didn't instantly show us the right sign for the right road that we were looking for yesterday, but what he did do was instantly send along a policeman. And the policeman told us exactly where to go. God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, and therefore, I hope, we will also be contented.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.